This is Jerry Pippin, and welcome back to the show. That's a theme from a motion picture way back in the 50s called The High and the Mighty. And Lynn Merrifield, we thought it would be kind of fitting to open up this half hour with The High and the Mighty, because evidently you have been traveling high, visiting UFOs all your life, and some of the mighty, the biblical characters that we've all read about, you seem to have met. Let's get back to the show. You know, we have a link to your website where you have some interesting paintings about your experiences. So let's pick up the conversation.
And when I saw that, I was scared to death. I just wanted to run and hide like I always do. And finally, I stood up to him and I said, "All right, enough's enough. I'm done running. What do you want?" I said, "I'm not going to run no more." With that, they were so happy inside. They go, "Oh, we've been waiting for this, that you finally accept it and you won't run and you won't be scared."
When you say they, how many?
Oh, there's a bunch of them. I mean, they're all, it's like a...
As many as a football team, or...
They won't appear to me because they know I'm definitely afraid.
Okay.
And they have to look at it in a medical view because my heart's going to give out. I mean, I'm getting older here, and they can't cause that kind of stress. So 4 weeks ago, they came right to me while I was awake. It was 4:00 in the morning. I was up, and I got up and I said, "Oh my gosh, they're here." And I just said, "Listen, I can't handle it. I want to meet you, but I can't do it right now." And they said, "All right, you know, go back to sleep. We won't bother you, but they're coming back." And I just wish someone was here with me. I don't have to do this by myself. Someone could just stay with me and just, okay, prove to someone that something's happening here, because I got zillions of stories. If you heard them all, Jerry, you would say, the Travis Walton story is a picnic compared to what I've been through. I'm serious.
Well, yeah, I'd like to know, there's two things in our conversation already I want to know more about. One is this encounter with Jesus.
Okay.
And the other is the most horrible thing you can tell me that you saw, if you can talk about it.
The Jesus encounter, my whole entire life, I knew I was going to have a Jesus encounter.
And how did it happen?
I was sleeping, and at the time...
Did he appear in a robe, and like an appearance?
In a robe.
Did he have a nice, clean-cut beard?
Yes. Jesus is... a hunk. He's really good looking. And, I seen other paintings.
Did you look at his eyes?
Yes, and, you know, I hear other people saying, "Well, his eyes were so blue," but they weren't. I mean, his eyes were just kind of loving. I mean, I didn't say, "Oh, they were blue." The thing I noticed about Jesus, so what Jesus did to me is...
I have blue eyes. Go ahead.
So, no, really, but Jesus was so loving, and when I got to him, I said, I knew I was going to just treat Jesus like a regular, ordinary person, and when he appeared to me, I thought, "Hey, Jesus, how are you? I knew this day was coming." And he's just looking at me with this, like, Mona Lisa smile. That's how I described it. And I'm coming, walking up to him. He's, like, 20 feet away, and I'm getting closer and closer. And then all of a sudden, I got up to him, and I'm saying, "Holy smokes." I said, "You are so tall." He's, like, 6'3". He could be a basketball player. And I said, "I can't believe how tall you are." And I said, "I don't know why I thought you were going to be shorter." But then all of a sudden, running. I got really serious, and I don't know what happened there, but all of a sudden I found myself right on my face in like a humble position, like I was right on the floor with my nose right to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And he's standing with his feet on the right side of my head.
Uh-huh.
And I look over, and at that time, I was taking some oil painting classes that I earned because I modeled a little to earn some money to get some, you know, professional painting lessons, a couple of them.
Sure.
And at that time, I was taking them, and I'm thinking, that skin tone was so unique, it was almost like it was glowing from the inside, like he had like a nightlight inside of his feet or something. It was the most bizarre thing, and I said, how could I capture that look? You know, it would be very difficult to even be able to paint what I saw here. But all this time, I'm looking at his feet and everything. He's talking to me. He's telling me all kinds of things, and I'm really serious. And I think what happened is I realized who this man really was. You kind of forget it, being in your flesh and stuff, but when your spiritual awakening happens, the spirit knows who he is. And I think we all know who he is. But our spirit has, our flesh has forgotten him. So, all I remembered about after I woke up, he gave me a feeling of total trust, which I never felt before, and total love, which I never felt that either, because I went from a very dysfunctional family.
Mm-hmm.
And I never felt those feelings. When I woke up, though, I remembered he kept on saying, you're going to have a very important job to do. So I waited my entire life, 20 years, before that job was revealed to me. And that was in 95. And I was brought above a craft and was shown these paintings that I have done on my website. And they told me just to study these paintings, and they want the paintings done exactly how I see them. And they said, pay close attention. And when I saw the paintings, I said, oh, these are so neat. They're so cool. And then when I looked down at the painting in the lower right-hand corner, there was my name. And I'm going, how's this possible? And they go, you're going to be doing these paintings, and this is what you were meant to do. And I just thought, I can't believe this.
So how many paintings have you done?
Well, so far I got about 24.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not little oil paintings. They're huge.
Yeah, you told me they're gigantic things, 5-6 feet.
Yeah, between 4 and 6 feet.
Okay.
Right, I'm doing another parting of the Red Sea, and that one is very large.
Okay, now, what happened there at the Red Sea parting? What really happened?
Well, according to the Bible, and it's...
So you don't have any different vision than what was in the Bible?
No, you know, I don't see any...
It looks to me like the bottom of the sea would have been muddy, and then these guys, escaping.
Right.
It all got dirty.
But if it's a... anti-gravitational, if there was an anti-gravitational pull, that would dry up any...
It's kind of like maybe something out of Star Trek, some kind of tractor beam or something.
Right. Some say, oh, with lasers that did it, but I think the lasers would harm people, but I don't think the magnetic pull wouldn't hurt anyone. I really don't. But... you know, for anyone to say that there was not an object, it was just God. God is going to use UFOs just for the simple reason man is not going to accept anything from mystics or miracles. It's got to be scientific proof, and that's why God is going to use science to prove himself.
Okay, let's get to the things that you said were horrible. What did you see that was so horrible?
Well, it was just experiences.
What kind of an experience? I mean, did they...
Well, one experience. Now, it ended up not so bad, but when it happened is, I had a needle stuck into my thigh, And I don't, and I remember being on this table. And that's the closest I can come to the typical encounter.
Uh-huh.
But I have one son, and at that time, he was playing football, in high school, and, he was in his bedroom, and when this thing was going on with me, like this needle, he started screaming, and I was so drugged up. It was just, it's just like you're on anesthesia. Yeah. I jumped up, and it felt like the needle broke off into my thigh, and I ran into my son's room, and I click on the light, and I could barely talk because I'm so dopey, and I said, "Why are you screaming?" And he wakes up, and he goes, "What are you talking about?" And I says, "Aren't you screaming?" And he goes, "No." And I said, "I don't get this." So I go back to bed, and
Did you have any damage to your leg there?
Yeah, I couldn't walk. I couldn't walk for 2 days, and I'm praying. I'm saying, "What is this?" You know, I didn't know if I should go to.
Did you see something? Did you see something in your leg?
No, I didn't see anything. But you could feel a prong, like a needle, off in there. And finally, I had 2 days later. I had another encounter, and they took it out, and I was fine the next day. And it was things like that that I'm going. But I.
You should have asked him. Why did you wait 2 days?
Yeah, I thought so, you know, that there might have been something going on where I wasn't going to sleep. They want me to sleep because they don't want me to have a heart attack. As simple as that. But the whole UFO thing...
So how's your heart now?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, Jerry, I got the best medical doctor you can imagine. I mean, it's all God sent. He actually took courses in metaphysical... experiences. You don't ever hear a medical doctor doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's here in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, and he's the greatest doctor, and he knows it. He's going to be listening to you. So, hi, Doc.
Well, good.
And
he's probably going to say, "Why didn't you give my phone number?"
Yeah, you know, but maybe I could steer a lot of abductees toward him.
Yeah.
Because,
So he understands your abduction stories.
Yeah, and he does feel like I need to go see a psychotherapist to be able to get this out and talk about it. And he just has a really good friend, he says, that's into this too. And he really wants his friend to...
And you told me you were afraid to do that.
Yeah, I'm very afraid.
Why?
To do that. Because I just don't trust anyone. I mean, you know,
I mean, they're not all like me, Marnica. They're not going to take advantage of
it. No, I know. But when I first met my doctor, I was very hostile to him because I don't like doctors. I know the corruption in the whole medical fields and everything. And I really got a bad attitude on a lot of things, but someone's got to prove themselves to me before I'm going to trust them. And he turned out to be a really nice guy, and I felt foolish for being...
You paint a tough picture of yourself, and you probably are a tough cookie in one area. But...
Oh, I think I'm probably the toughest chick you'll ever meet. I'm serious.
And Marnica, I love a strong woman, so don't...
I'm strong.
But I got an email here, and it concerns you.
Oh, yeah?
He says... this guy named Jim Abo.
Okay.
Is that his name? A-B-O? I don't know how you pronounce it.
A-H-O.
A-H-O. A-H-O. Okay. Okay. He says, I can't read either. It says, when writing the book, I always thought that I would touch somebody, if I could just touch one person's life, I would consider the effort of smashing success. Monarca is one of the few people to whom I sent a preliminary copy of the text. Her reaction has made the book a success already, before it's even been published. She's truly a gift from God.
Oh, wow.
See? And then he mentioned something here that I don't know anything about, and I hate to mention it, but he acts like I should know about it. You've acted like I should know about it. I don't know about it. Crux Dasana?
Okay, that's a...
Dasana? How do you pronounce that?
Dasana.
Okay, okay. What are we talking about?
That is Latin for the cross of St. Andrew. Andrew, the disciple that no one ever hears about.
Well, how do we know there was a disciple named St. Andrew if nobody heard about him?
Oh, they've heard of him because he's one of the disciples.
He is?
But yeah.
There's 12 of them.
Yeah.
He's one of those 12?
Yeah. Well, he doesn't have a writing in the Bible.
Huh?
He doesn't have a writing in the Bible.
Well, then how do we know about it?
Come on, Jerry.
No, I mean, I'm serious.
All right.
Okay, I'll take your word for it. I'll take your word for it. There's a disciple named St. Andrew.
I heard of...
I don't want to argue with you about it.
I heard of St. Andrew. Well, it's same with Stephen.
Stephen? I haven't heard about Stephen either.
I know. Well, okay. Well, look on the Internet. What's the Internet?
Well, you don't believe everything that's on the Internet. I'm on the Internet.
All right. Well, I'm taking Jim's word for it. There was an Andrew.
Okay, fine. It's a given.
So this is why I think there is an Andrew. This is what happened. Jim wrote me and said, oh, visit my website. I visit his website. And he has a Jesus experience. And I said, oh, man, yeah, he's got a Jesus. And I got to read this. So because I don't read, I'm... got my reading program reading it to me, and I'm sitting on the couch, and I'm listening to about his Jesus experience. I have the TV on, but it's on mute. I don't, no sound, and it's on Fox News.
I got all kinds of lines, but I'll let it go.
Give it away, give it away, give it away now. It's by Red Hot Chili Peppers. Did you ever hear of that?
No, but we're gonna play it as a bumper.
Okay.
In this show.
Okay.
We will find it.
Okay. It was a number one hit, so it's.
Well, I don't know. I can't keep track of everything.
Well, anyways, I'm sitting there, sitting to this, and I'm saying, what a strange, you know, there's so many, you know, kind of off the wall people on this field, you know, studying with this research, you know, and I'm thinking, oh, this is. So corny, you know, I'm thinking, how could this be possible? As soon as I was listening, give it away now, a red screen flashed on the TV, and Jerry, there's no lie, just as I was hearing it, it said, give it away now, right on the TV screen under the newscast person talking. At that very second.
So you had the little scroll, the script running.
Right.
And said, give it away now, give it away now.
It just said in one sense, give it away now. They were talking about the borders or something. I don't know what they... But I had it on mute, and I wasn't even looking at the TV, but I just happened to glance over at that second and see that on the screen. And I'm thinking, wow.
Well, what does this give it away now mean? I mean, it sounds to me a little racy, but
no, it had something to do with your soul or something.
Okay.
Jesus wanted you to give yourself to him.
Okay.
And that's basically what it meant. But God does it works like that. He does it works really strange ways in the Bible. If you read those Bible stories, they're very, very strange stories.
Well, they are different.
It's just like, well, here's a story in the Bible. No one's really probably heard of it too much, unless you really study the Bible. Elijah had this, like, apprentice guy hanging around with him called Elisha. And no one talks about Elisha, really. But one morning, his servant went out.
I always thought it was Elisha, but anyway, either way.
It might be.
Okay, either way, I've heard about him.
Well, anyway, okay. So his servant goes out of the camp, and the camp is surrounded by their enemies. I mean, they're just, you know. And the servant comes back, and Elisha, or not Elisha.
Well, you can call him Elisha if you want to. It's Elisha, but you can call him Elisha. Go ahead.
Yeah, he's a... then he said, he started to pray, and he said, "Oh Lord, I pray thee open thy eyes that he may see." Elisha had to pray to God to open the eyes of his servants, and when the servants' eyes were open, the whole mountainside was full of horses and chariots of fire, whatever they were, which I believe they were UFOs, and they killed all their enemies. And it seems like every story talks about these chariots of fire playing in the Bible, and I'm just totally convinced. Everyone, most Christians tell me that I'm, under Satan's spell and everything.
Oh, I don't think so.
I hope you're right, because I'm not changing my story. God has proven myself. And the thing is, when I study about the fallen angels that were cast out of heaven, if you translate the word heaven, it means sky or atmosphere, abode of God. If that's the case, why, if God threw them out of heaven, out of the skies, they're not up there. They're down here, playing. They are, the prince of the air is what is corrupting us. Whenever you get, this real, sadistic thoughts or bad thoughts and everything, they're coming through the air into our minds, through the airwaves of the, television. I mean, I don't know if you watch TV, but that's insane anymore.
Well, there's a good and there's evil forces.
Exactly. Well, it's the same with the Internet. I mean, the Internet is the most wonderful blessing,
I agree. It's amazing. And it's amazing that it's only been around as few years as it's been.
Yes.
Because we take it for granted.
Right, exactly. And I didn't get a computer until about 98. So all that time, I was suffering, I didn't hear anything about UFOs, no one talked about it, and I'm, not only having these encounters, I mean, I have to get up for school the next day, get up for work, and I actually, God has blessed me so much. That visual display artist job, I went to those people and I said, "Look, I'm having a sleep disability. I mean, I just can't sleep. Can I just come in whenever I want?" They were willing to bend over backwards to, because they liked me so much. They did everything in their power so I could.
Are you sleeping better these days?
Yeah, I do, because I don't have that much fear, and I believe, the time is coming where.
See, I feel for you on that. I've never had that problem of not being able to sleep, but I know people that have, a lot of people.
Yeah,
and it must be hell.
It is, and most contactees, people don't realize that. People, I don't want to put anybody down making books or anything, but usually the contactees that are really in need of the help, they don't have the money because they can't work, and what I mean?
Right, they're dysfunctional in many ways.
And what I'm saying, websites like yours, Jerry, you don't know what a blessing it is, and I'm going to tell you right here, the blessings are going to come upon you for, being... doing this for you. You have no idea how many people you are helping right now.
Thank you very much on that.
You will be in my prayers too.
Well, I appreciate that. You're in my dreams too.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're so funny. Hey, I can have a good time with this too.
Yeah. Before we go, you've been quite taken away with the Masonic order and all of that. I don't have a lot of time to get into that, but tell me, I've always thought the Masonic thing was evil. It's not? Or is it?
It is.
It is. Okay.
If you think UFOs are the deception, wrong. They're not the deception. The deception is what we're in right now. The deception is happening right now. And if you want any information on it, go to ProtestantSeparatist.com and you can read all about it. because, you know, like I said, I'm not going to get into it, but that website spoke to my mind. And
well, I wanted to bring it up because it has changed your life, you said.
Yeah, it has.
And I'm not quite sure what you mean by that, but
because
I mean I guess what I'm saying is that I've always thought there was Illuminati. I've always thought there was this deep force going on. I've always thought these people that were masquerading as doing kind to humanity are actually doing just the opposite. But I'm cynical.
Yeah, yeah. The only thing difference about this website is it's trying to bring all the religious people together and saying, look at this, is what we're all deceived, we have to get together and straighten out our differences, because this is what's taking people away from God. We have to get together. Everyone has to get.
Well, I think if you read the New Testament, that seems to be the lesson of Jesus Christ, is that we're worshiping the order of the law and not the spirit and the law, the love, unrequited agape type love that we need. We see this every day in the American justice system, that if you don't file something on time, if you don't follow the rules, then you're out.
Yeah.
Well, that's BS.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Justice is justice.
It is.
And, we've been hooked into this pro forma type lifestyle where we have to do certain things at a certain time.
Well, I think that, you know, everyone is starting to wake up. I really believe this. And everybody, you know, it's a slow process, but everybody's starting to wake up. And I really believe this is why things are falling into place the way they are, because there are certain people in the political systems that don't want this awakening, and they're going to do everything in their power to keep things in upheaval.
It's not new, Monarca. I mean, Karl Marx said it best, religion's the elixir of the masses. Before that, you had the Crusades. Before that, you had this and that. It's always, religion's always been used, unfortunately, to control the evil people.
Well, the religion and government, politics, it's all tied in together. UFOs, it's all tied in together. And that's what makes my research very complicated. I have to depend on the Lord to send me information. I can't do it because it stems into so many directions.
I want to thank you for a good hour, and I want to ask you one final question. What are you working on, painting-wise? Have you got something there you're about half-finished or something you tell me about?
Well, I am still in the process of... I'm doing the illustrations for that book.
What book?
That Crux de Cuff.
Oh, his book. Okay, his book. Gems.
Yeah.
Gem of a Hoe?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And, I'm in the process.
I'm going to see him in Eureka Springs, by the way.
Oh, really? Yeah. Great.
We're going to interview him.
Oh, that's great. And I have got other projects that I do. I'm actually working on 4 different books all at once, but a couple of them are just children's books. But I need to keep grounded in this flesh of mine.
So you've actually been able to ink out a living with illustrations.
Exactly.
I'm impressed.
You know, I can be a semi-recluse and do everything over the internet. Just send the artwork over email, and I'm fine. I'm doing great.
Well, right. We all are that way. I get accused of that every day. I'm traveling the world. I never leave my office, huh? We've got to go. Our time's up.
Okay, there. Well, hope we can do this.
Oh, we'll do some more and follow up. We've just scratched the surface, I can tell.
All right.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Monarca Lynn Merriweather. Very, very interesting lady. Hey, we promised you the Red Hot Chili Peppers and Give It Away. So I guess we'll wrap up the show with the Red Hot Chili Peppers. The program was edited by James Smith.